Hey, welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. Tom McNew here with our special brilliant guest, Father John Gonzalto. Hey, Father, thanks for joining
Brilliant.
us. Yeah, you are brilliant. That's what we expect of our priest is brilliance.
I think you should ask my sister. She would disagree. She would have other adjectives.
We're not interviewing them, so it doesn't
Okay.
matter. Folks, we are continuing our conversation and our discussion and our catechesis on the Ten Commandments, and we're picking up here with the sixth commandment. I guess technically we're on the other side of the hill, the back side, the second half, if you will.
Yeah, the easy stuff, the
The
light,
easy stuff.
very straightforward, non-controversial.
Yeah, non-controversial. I don't think the sixth commandment fits into the non-controversial categories. Okay, folks, if you are just this is the first time you've heard us today, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. The other episodes of What Would Father Say are available on our website on underneath the schedule tab. You can see a special page there dedicated to this show, along with all of our other local shows. And so you can go back and you can listen to all the other episodes at your leisure. And remember, if you can't catch all of this episode, we have an encore presentation on Sunday at 12:30 as well. Father, let's jump in here to this soft little sixth commandment, and let's just roll with it. You
Okay.
shall not commit adultery.
That's what it says. And
Pretty
then,
pretty black and white.
you would think so. You would think so, but you'd be wrong if you thought if you think it's black and white a world now, because Jesus not only quotes it as we see here in the title, he adds to it.
Yeah.
You have heard it said, you're not commit adultery, but I say to you, everybody who looks at a woman and lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, can I start off by saying, what a couple of theologians have posited, where we get the term sex from? I mean,
Sure.
can I?
Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
so how's your Latin, Tom?
I'm still working on English.
Okay. Well, do you know how to say six in Latin?
No.
Sex.
Oh, really? It's that simple?
S-E-X.
Oh, I feel stupid.
Sex. Now, I was listening to a theologian. Now, some theologians don't think so, but others do, because in the Protestant world, I want to say the fifth commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. They have a different numbering. Maybe it's the
Yeah.
seventh commandment. Anyway, but the church has always said when two people come together in a sexual union, where a man and woman comes together, we always call that the marital act, right? But what if they're not married? What do you call it then? Well, you would call it they're sixing each other. They would have to have some other name. They violated the sixth commandment. They're not married, they're actually committing adultery. Now, most people think adultery is if a man or a woman has sex with a person, with somebody else's husband or wife, or someone who is married, and that comes under that, yeah.
Sure.
That, but like St. Paul says, there's all kinds of violations of the marital bed. What is that a violation? Is it just one way? If a man has sex who's married, has sex with a woman who's not, is that the only way it's violated? There's all kinds of ways. Well, Jesus doesn't even consider it just a marital bed. He all of a sudden he says, if you look at another woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Ouch. That means, a few years ago I went to study Spanish in Mexico, and we went to the beach, and it was with the European part of the beach. And people don't dress chastely. Not at all, especially the Europeans. You realize, wow, I have to discipline myself not to commit adultery. I say, well, you're just looking. No,
No.
that could affect my soul. Because we hear is, what is, What is the sexual function for? It's a total gift of self. It's supposed to express the marital bond. A total gift. I love you so much, we could have a child together. Well, that only happens in the bond of marriage. If you go outside of that, even, and now here's the kicker, ready? Even with consenting adults, is it still okay? No, everybody's affected. The whole world is affected by that amazing supernatural act that invites God in for human life. It's a gift from God. And we actually get to participate in God's procreative act. A man and woman come together in a marital bed. They're actually inviting the God into the room and says, hey, we are open, not just to each other, which is true, but to new life. To new life, that's sacred. It's like walking into the sanctuary of a mass. We have to be dressed right. We have to have the right intention because God's making himself vulnerable. And
I want to dive into that to
okay.
that aspect of it here
Okay.
in a minute, but first I think you know we need to kind of talk about paragraph 2333. And
Okay.
there's a big word in there. There's a $5 government word in there.
Okay, read it.
Complementarity.
Yes.
Everyone, man and woman, should acknowledge and accept his sexual identity, physical, moral, and spiritual difference and complementarity are oriented toward the goods of marriage and the flourishing of family life. And I think that's an aspect of our lives, of our human nature, that we take for
Yeah.
granted, that complementarity between man and woman.
Yeah, man, a man makes no bodies makes no sense without a woman.
Right.
And a woman's body makes no sense without a man. They're not opposites. I think we have to remember that. Man and woman are not opposites. And they're even not compatible. Let's just go ahead and admit that. Men and women are not compatible. Men and women complement each other. It's like peanut butter and jelly have very little in common, except sugar. But together they do something very unique. They complete, they go together, they produce something new and extraordinary. And that everybody has a sexual identity. And just saying that everyone, man and woman, that's it. Just to even say that now is such a remedy. It is a remedy. It has to be said. No, there are two genders, male and female. That's it.
That's how God created us.
That's how nature screams that. And when you undermine that, nature rocks back. And that we should acknowledge and accept his sexual identity. And if you don't, you're either foolish or you have some kind of mental delusion.
I think that's the big elephant in our culture, is this idea that and it's pervasive, and I saw a chart a few weeks ago where the number of the current generation of 20 somethings, whatever the
Oh,
name of
yeah.
their generation is, that the number of them who identify as a member of the opposite sex
Or no sex.
or no sex has just, I mean, it's grown a hundredfold.
Yeah.
It went from this microscopic percentage to 17 or something percent of that population literally overnight.
Jason Ever has written a great book on this, and I don't have it. I don't remember his name. It's about transgenderism. And let's go ahead and talk about that in a serious way. It has infected women. In the past, homosexuality was primarily a man thing. Only 2 to 3% of all men were gay, and about 1 to 2% were lesbian. Men, women were lesbian. And there were men who dressed up like women. We called them transvestites. But now it has attacked women, especially teenage girls and 20-something girls. And here's my theory, okay? I have people very close to me, people in my very family, female members. More than if you go to an LGBTQ rally, what you will find is a bunch of very effeminate men and all kinds of women. Because here's my theory. This is not Catholic teaching. This is Father John. You, this show is called What Father John Would Say.
Yeah.
Men are easily seduced. We know that. We know that. Samson, Abraham, David, who's kidding who? Okay? They're all seduced. But women are easily propagandized. Easily propagandized. And if you go and give some talk, even in a Catholic church, about male and female, that men go with women, women go with men, and those who have same-sex attraction or transgender delusions, we have to help. It's the girls who have their hands in the air and are shaking their fist and saying, no, they have what I would call the sin of empathy. They have Stockholm syndrome because they surround themselves. They ask a teenage girl, we have them here. I just want a gay friend. And they'll surround themselves with gay men and strange girls, and they begin to empathize and to think, and I'll quote them and say, no, my friend Dion and Biff, they're just wonderful. There's nothing wrong with them. They can't admit because they've empathized with them. And when you start to empathize with delusional people, you start to sympathize with delusional people. That's what Stockholm syndrome is. But it takes, I think, and the boys, the teenage boys are like, yeah, that's true. They shouldn't do that. But they have to be quiet now. They get bullied. They'll get labeled
Yeah.
as transphobic, homophobic, ignorant. So boys, a lot of the boys just stay silent on this. And that's what, this is the sin in the garden. Eve was propagandized by the devil, and Adam just stood there like a
Said
doofus
nothing.
and did nothing. He did not stand up for truth. He didn't say that. You talk to me, not to her, because women want to be pleasers. They want people to feel good. No, it takes a man to step in there and say, no, this is false. Do not be propagandized. And the devil knows that. He uses seduction to seduce men, and he uses sympathy and empathy to propagandize women.
We saw that in Adam's first response to our Lord when, or to God when, after they ate the apple, the first thing he said was,
This
I was
woman.
naked and I was afraid.
Yeah, I was afraid. Who told you that? Who told you that? What happened to you, you pansy? But no, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the end, it is, I think, and this show is called What Would Father Say, right? Not what does the church teach. I'll give you what the church teaches. 23, 34, in creating men, male and female, whoa, that's revolutionary.
Yeah, exactly.
God gives man and woman an equal personal dignity. Man is a person, man and woman equally so, since both were created in the image and likeness of God. Man and woman are equal, but they're not the same. Each of the two sexes have an image of the power and tenderness of God with equal dignity, though in a different way. Men and women are equal, but they're not the same. And the people have to tattoo that on their brain. Men and women are equal, but they are not the same. So, what does Father John say about this? I think fornication should be at least a misdemeanor. And I think that adultery, full-blown adultery, should be a felony, at least. Do you know what it used to be? Are you a military guy? Isn't it illegal in the military?
It
Yeah, you
was.
can
It
get,
was for a
unless you're
long,
Bill
long
Clinton.
time.
Unless you're Bill Clinton, unless you're the cap, unless you're the commander in chief.
It actually changed during the Obama administration, ironically. I mean, it took.
No.
Anyway, I digress. Hey,
But
folks,
yes,
if you're
go
just
ahead.
tuning in, this is Tom McDew with Father John Gisaldo. This is What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. We're about halfway into our first episode here of the Sixth Commandment, and we're making references to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the current edition. You heard Father John talk about paragraph 2334. For those of you at home or in your car and you're thinking, what is this book? I've never heard of this book before. If you don't have a catechism of the Catholic Church in your house and you're not looking through it, you're not reading it, it is not dog-eared and marked up and written in and highlighted and tabbed and whatever else, you need to give me a call. I will personally buy you a catechism.
They can get it
I will make
online for
sure.
free.
Yep.
You can pull it up online for free.
You can read it for free online, but I will buy you a book that you can mark up and page and number and it and it'll look just like mine. It's full of markings and tabs and everything else. That's the way it should be. Anyway.
Let's keep going. It
Yeah,
says
keep
here
going, Father. Keep going.
in 2335, the union of man and woman in marriage is a way of imitating in the flesh the Creator's generosity and fecundity. Therefore, man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. All human generations proceed from this union. So, if all generations proceed from this union, when you violate that union, all generations are affected. They're all affected. What would the world be like if men never cheated on their wives? What would the world be like? What if there was no divorce? What if, like that song from the Judds, no, tell me about the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
Did they literally fall in love to stay? 2336, Jesus came to restore creation to its purest of its origins. What Jesus most is hard on, and this is go I'm talking to our Protestant brothers and sisters too. What he's most hard on, he's forgiving, he's loving, but he said, if you divorce your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. Ho.
Yeah.
And they're constantly trying to do backflips to get around that. And then he doubles down. Amen, I say to you, if you divorce your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. If you marry a divorced woman, you commit adultery. We run into this constantly.
Yeah.
In my office, people want to get married. And yet, first question, we've been married before? Well, both of us are married before. Well, that's a problem. Well, we're divorced. Well, it doesn't matter. That's a problem. Well, I'm not Catholic, or I wasn't married in the Catholic Church. Well, we still have to, there's a process here. Why? Because Jesus came down hard.
Yeah.
He was trying to restore what was broken in the garden. You could even say, I would argue, since this is named after me, I would say every sin is a sin of adultery. It's a violation of a covenant, a nuptial covenant with God. That even this, especially people don't really realize the sin that took place in the desert on below Mount Sinai with the
Oh, yeah.
golden calf. It was a sin of idolatry. And did they just kind of pray? No, they were committing sins with their bodies. They were committing adultery, sacrificing their bodies to this God instead of using their bodies in worship of the God. And they were using their very flesh. God had just freed them from captive of sin, and they traded God, the eternal creator, for a statue of an animal that eats grass. That's a
It's
type
really
of,
kind
but
of
you just slapping him in the face. Jesus calls himself the bridegroom. And how does the bride sin against the groom? It's adultery. It's a slap, and it's a broken heart. And that he came to heal that wound. There it is. He in the Sermon on the Mount, he interprets God's plan. Here's that word. You see it? Strictly.
Yeah.
You have heard it was said you should not have committed adultery, but I say to you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So I was talking with a Protestant friend of mine, a pastor, and I asked him, how do y'all do this? I mean, well, how do you get around this? Again, intellectual, theological, philosophical backflips. I said, we believe marriage is indissoluble. What man has put together, no man must put. And then they always go to the extreme cases. Well, there are cases of people who are abused. I said, I understand. I said, but when is it okay to marry again? Do you believe marriage is dissolvable? Well, in the extreme cases, And then I asked the golden question. I asked this Baptist pastor, are all marriages dissolvable? And they said yes.
Yeah.
And I remember my response to them was, you know, that's devastating. That's devastating. You just said all covenants are dissolvable. That's a covenant. Covenant says, I give myself to you unconditionally. Jesus rose from the dead and said, you broke your side. I'm out of here. That's not what he said. Constantly trying to spare the relationship, heal this adulteress. Because nothing's more, even, you know, when you lie to your spouse or you steal from them, even if you die, I always think, you know, we have a bunch of couples at this church that are separated going through a divorce, you know, and it'll be the first ones to tell you that divorce is worse than death.
Yeah.
If their spouse would have died, that's awful, right? I mean, that's awful.
Sure.
But they would mourn their loss, you know, and if they're we're wired to lose people to die. We are not wired. Divorce, where people are not wired for divorce. And once you get one, the second one is easier. The third one's even easier.
Kind of like that, kind of like the alcoholic, you know, the first drink is, you know, easy, and they get easier the more you have, right?
Yeah, the more you sin, the easier it is to sin.
And
There was
I
a
think
young
the
lady. Go ahead.
no, I was gonna say I think the key piece of this commandment is laid out perfectly here in the catechism, and it's all about chastity, you know. It's not just about do whatever you want to with ever with your body, you know, or who or other people's bodies, you know. The Lord called us to be chaste, and that the engagement in that marital act is for a very specific person purpose,
Yeah. And
and not.
chastity, the vocation of ch chastity, we have to say, is not just white knuckling it and for only celibates. Well, chastity is for
Everybody.
everybody, married people, single people, religious people, because chastity is part of the good news. Chastity is part of the good news. Chastity brings freedom. Unchastity brings misery, addiction, sin. Can I tell you a story?
Please.
I was working with a young lady at a library. Her name was Shelby. This was, you know, 30 years ago, so she's not gonna watch this. Anyway, Shelby was always talking about her family, and it was always very confusing. She was always saying, you know, my dad, the guy I call my dad, my mom husband, or you know, my dad, he never got a divorce. My dad, mom did get a divorce. It was very confusing. So, you know, I would just listen, and my half brothers and sisters, and I said, you know, what you just laid out doesn't make sense. I don't, how could your mom never get a divorce from your dad, but your dad got a divorce? And she goes, okay, let me clear it up. Okay. I said, okay. She goes, when I was born, my mom and dad were married, just not to each other. They were married to two other people. So what happened was a woman, her mom was married, but she had an affair with the neighbor and got pregnant with another man who was also married, and she is the result of that union. And those two families still live next door to each other, and she has half brothers and sisters on both sides. It was
My head is
such
exploding.
a mess. I said, you're kidding. She goes, yeah. Now my dad got a divorce and got remarried. My mom never got a divorce from her husband. And she goes, the guy she I meant. And so what kind of family? It's all now. She was a lovely young girl. She was tiny and was teaching. But just she an injustice was done to her.
No kidding.
An injustice was done to her, because everybody has a right to their mom and daddy. They have a right to it. Not only do they have a right to their mom and daddy, they have a right to a mom and daddy who have made vows to each other. They have a right. If I have a car and I have a baby in the back seat and I'm driving with two flat tires, that's a violation of that baby's rights. That baby has a right to be in a car with two tires that are inflated, because now it's in danger. It didn't ask to be there. But a baby has a right to come into the world and has a right to his parents or her parents have brought and has a right to them being married. Now, in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, people had a sense of this. If someone got pregnant, they should get married. They just had a sense of it. Does it say that explicitly? No, it's written on their hearts. But now all we do is meet the needs of adults. That's all we do. We got to meet them, and the kids will be fine. No fault divorce. Oh, the kids they'll be fine. They can just go from back and forth to different houses, and they're resilient.
They're resilient, yeah.
Yeah, they're resilient. They'll be okay. No, it's an abuse. And we know more about it now because now we have adult children of divorced parents who are telling their stories. But a lot of times they can't tell their stories because now that they've been divorced two, three times.
Exactly.
And now they realize, looking back, wow, this is what I was taught.
Perpetuating the
This
sin.
is what I watched. This is what I thought was normal. And now it just continues to ripple. And now babies. Well, marriage is sex is about bonding and babies. Not anymore. It's just about getting your rocks off
Yeah. What I
because
want to do.
what I want to do with who I want to do. That's where contraception comes from. That's why transgenderism is on the outer circle. They have to defend transgenderism because they have to ha defend homosexuality because they have to defend
Contraception.
sterile sex. And then they have to defend contraception, because what they want is sex without consequences, orgasms without responsibility. That's what they want.
We're gonna have to stop it there.
Oh my
And
gosh, I'm just getting rolling, Tom.
I know, Father, that's we're gonna have to expand this to an hour long. I guess that's all it
Okay,
boils down
okay.
to. Give us a quick blessing here before we have to go today. We'll pick
Oh,
back up
Almighty
next
God
week.
bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. If you missed some or all of this, we'll pick it back up on Sunday. And we hope to see you next week right here on What Would Father Say?